Second Timothy. Second Timothy, chapter 3. Begin reading down at verse number 10. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, and Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. May God bless His word. Father, speak to our hearts today. As we stand before your people, I pray, Lord, that you would just have your way with me. I just want to be in your hand to say what you would have me say. Lord, I'm little, I'm helpless, I'm nothing. I want to encourage your people. I want to be a blessing to them. And Lord, I want to pray for our sick and afflicted. And I pray especially, remember my wife today. You know how she loves to be in church. She's very disappointed she couldn't come today. And I count that a blessing that she is disappointed, because so many people are not disappointed to miss church. Encourage her and bless all these that are sick and afflicted. And thank you that Miss Vashti is able to be in church today. This is a blessing to see her demeanor among us today, Lord. Her expressing herself amongst us. Thank you for loving us, Father. Thank you for caring. Thank you for taking upon yourself to take care of us. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. What's going on, folks? I was planning on preaching this last Sunday, because I've recently been thinking, I can't get off my mind, a number of Christians who are suffering various afflictions. I just got a long list of people that I know about personally that's suffering physically afflictions today. And one of the most different parts of the Christian life is the fact that because of becoming a disciple of Christ does not make us immune from trials and tribulation. Just because we're a Christian doesn't cause us not to have problems like people around us have problems. Why would a good and loving God allow us to go through such things as the death of a loved one, disease and injury to ourselves or our loved ones, financial hardships, worries and fears? Why does a good God allow all that? I'm thinking today especially about older Christians who have for years loved the Lord and served the Lord, and yet now they suffer. And even with all the modern medicines, they can't get well. You know people like that? I just can't get them off my mind. And I find myself wondering about them and their situation. Why can't they get well? I keep praying for them, but it seems often their condition is just unchanged. Do you find yourself wondering like this about people you know that's God's people? The question, why do they remain in this affliction when we're praying for? Faithfully praying for. I know what the Bible says about the Apostle Paul when he had a thorn in the flesh. 2 Corinthians 12:9. God had caused the apostle to have a thorn in the flesh. It said he prayed about it. And he prayed about it. But God said, my grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Paul accepted what God had determined for his life. He was to have afflictions and even persecutions. And it was very difficult for Paul. But he knew the Lord loved him, and he knew the Lord would make a way for him. Yesterday I visited Miss Rosemary up in the hospital. The Lord timed that so neatly that I must confess to the reality of it. I went by the hospital and I said, Lord, find me a parking place when I get there. And I got there, there weren't no parking place. So I just drove through the lot, come on out here and made the bulletins. When I got through with the bulletins, I went back to the hospital, and the Lord had two parking places. Well, my truck only would use one. And I walked up to her room, just showing you what about God, folks, the God I serve. I walked into the room, and there was a nurse there working on a little old stand there with that, all that junk on it, you know, IVs and stuff. Anyway, Miss Rosemary was laying there, teary. The doctor had just walked out. And she was all to pieces because she just got news she couldn't go home. She's got to go to a facility. You know what she said to me? She said, Pastor, the Lord sent you at the right time. You think that ain't a God, Brother Chavis? Yes, he didn't let me have a parking place. But you see, I was persistent. I went back. And there was two parking places. Two's a witness, Brother Chavis, in the Bible. You catch on?
Yes, sir.
And so I just kept telling her, I said, Miss Rosemary, you just got to keep trusting the Lord. You just got to keep trusting the Lord. And I have to keep telling myself, you got to keep trusting the Lord. When it's dark, when it's hard, when you don't know what to do, you just keep trusting the Lord. That's what you do. Because God says, I'm still with you. It disturbs me about my wife. It bothers me. But I know the Lord is with us. God is telling the apostle that his grace is enough for him. Why? Because of who God is. His grace is good enough because of who he is. Our trust in the Lord is enough, folks. That's what we need. That's all we need. We got to just keep trusting the Lord, because he don't make mistakes. He don't make mistakes. The apostle said a messenger of Satan was given to him to keep him from exalting himself, because he had seen things in heaven. I want y'all to get this today. The reason the apostle Paul had thorn in the flesh was to keep him from getting proud. The apostle now. The best Christian in the Bible had to have a thorn to keep him humble. He wasn't given the thorn after he got proud. I hope y'all catch this. He was given the thorn to keep him from getting proud. That might happen to us. To keep us right with the Lord.
Amen.
To keep us right with the Lord. Pride can deceive you, folks. And if there's anything God hates in the Bible, it's pride. Pride. You and I know we are going to heaven. Do you know that today? But our troubles here that we have will keep us humble. Because we're no better than the lost man out there. And we don't need to think I'm somebody and they're nothing. It's by grace that I'm going. Here's several different versions of the Bible that read 2 Corinthians 12:4. I want you to listen carefully to these different translations. I've got three or four here. How it expressed what Paul experienced. From the Amplified Bible, he was caught up into paradise and he heard utterances beyond the power of man to put into words, which man is not permitted to utter. That's the reason he was given a thorn in the flesh, because what he saw in heaven. The NIV says, was caught up to paradise and he heard inexpressible things, things that man is not permitted to tell. The Living Bible says that I was caught up to paradise and heard things so astonishing that they cannot be expressed in words, things no man is allowed to tell. Talking about what's in heaven waiting for you, folks.
Yes, sir.
The King James, our Bible, the Word of God, amen. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words which it is not lawful for man to utter. Think about that. Can you imagine heaven is so wonderful, it's not permitted to tell us on earth about it? Because human tongue couldn't express it as it is. And that's where we're going. Amen? God told Paul his grace would enable him to bear his infirmities in this life. So whatever my troubles is, whatever my trials is, whatever my afflictions is, God has promised that he will sustain us and enable us if we'll just trust him. We got to keep trusting him. When the days are dark, we got to keep trusting the Lord. Because the Lord don't leave us. He stays with us all the time. That's a promise. And yes, our troubles can be very painful and very personal. But we got to keep trusting the Lord, because we belong to the Lord. He's bought us. And we've been sprinkled with the blood of Jesus Christ. That is, we've been cleansed and made acceptable to Him. And we're His people now. And we're on our way to see Him and be with Him. We must remember God loves us. God is for us. And God knows what is best for us. Paul at first thought, this thorn in the flesh is not good for me. But God said it was. Right? God said it was. Let me share you some scriptures relating to this. Ephesians 1:7, in Him, that is Christ, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin in accordance with the riches of God's grace. Because of the grace of God, we have redemption and forgiveness of sins, church. 1 Timothy 1:4, the grace of our Lord Jesus was poured out on me abundantly along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus, Paul wrote to Timothy, a young pastor. In 2 Corinthians to the church at Corinth, chapter 8, verse 9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, so that you through His poverty might be rich. Let me ask you a question. Are you a Christian? You've been saved? You may not have a dime in the bank, but you're rich if you're saved. You got more money than Warren Buffett. Amen? You're rich if you're saved. In fact, we have an inheritance with Jesus Christ, who's going to inherit all things. Amen. Praise the Lord. In fact, everything we need to succeed in our walk with Christ and do good works comes from God's grace. God's grace has given us a Bible. Amen, Linda. God's grace has given us a nice place to worship. God's grace has given us brothers and sisters that we can call on to pray for us. God's grace has took care of us, brought us to this time when right now we're on the threshold of hearing the sound of the trumpet and being snatched up and gone. I don't know how in the world we've stayed here another day with what's going on in this world. 2 Corinthians 8:9. I love that verse. Because of the grace of Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes, our sakes, He became poor, so that through His poverty. Think about the Lord hanging on the cross as the one that made everything. And then He was made the cursed thing, so I could be saved. So I could be saved. You know, in our bulletin today, Paul said he was the chief of sinners. Do you ever feel like you're the worst? That's a good indication whether you're saved or not, if you feel like you're the worst. In fact, everything we need to succeed in our walk with Christ and to do good works comes from God's grace. 2 Corinthians 9:8, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things at all times having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Let me assure all of us that God is mindful of all of our problems and our hardships. You're very mindful in the eye of God. Secondly, why are our prayers not answered? God tells us to pray, doesn't He? So why doesn't God answer our prayers sometimes? Jeremiah 33:3, God says, "Call unto me, and I'll answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." John 15:7, Jesus said, "If you abide in me, my words abide in you. You shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you." Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, "Pray without ceasing." And James 5, Brother James, 13 and 14 says, "Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church." I heard my wife call the other night. I went back there to her room. She said, "Raymond, you're an elder in the church. Please pray for me." That's a touching time.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. She knew I'd been praying for her. Night and day. I can't sleep some nights praying, thinking about her.
Yes, sir.
And several times now she says, she's called me, "Raymond, you're an elder. Come, please pray for me." My wife is very sick, folks. She don't even want to talk. She can't hold out to talk. We pray, and still the afflictions remain. Why? And all wise God knows what He's doing. He just calls us to trust Him. Keep trusting Him. The truth is, we do not know what God is accomplishing when this is going on in our lives. We don't know what God is doing. God might be using my wife's affliction to deal with children or grandchildren. We don't know that. And the same is true with you. Many times Christian people suffer to get other people's attention. One thing God is doing is causing us to pray, though, ain't it? Amen. Amen. It's proving us to make us a holy people. When you got troubles and trials, you examine your life to see what's your relation to the Lord. Thirdly, we are God's children. God's children are special to God. You saved? You're a special person to God. He's our Heavenly Father. This is awesome. When you think about the complexities of this world, all that's going on in this world, and God knows about everything that's going on, and these people that's got a brain are discovering more and more galaxies out yonder, in space, in infinite space. God's creation just keeps existing out yonder. And yet, He's our Father. Boy, heaven's going to be something, folks, to be with somebody like that. To be identified as the children of God with someone with this great power, wisdom, goodness, and love. Think of his children that have served him faithfully, who have suffered extremely. Many of God's people have been faithful, but suffered with afflictions extremely. Being God's children does not exclude us from the sufferings of life, as some people suggest. We got some of these churches, if you got enough faith, you won't have any afflictions. Or if you got enough faith, you'll get healed. They need to read the real Bible. Job chapter 2. And the Lord said to Satan, "Behold, he's in thine hand, but save his life." Thank God, God's in control. Amen. Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot until his crown. And he took a potsherd to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. Turn in your Bible to Psalms 119. Psalms 119. Now, it said about Job that he was a perfect man. I mean, he was the best servant God had in the world. Look what happened to him. God did that to test Job. And you know, your afflictions might be to test you, to see how you're going to react. Are you going to keep trusting the Lord? And one of the verses I've memorized many years ago, Job said, "Though the Lord slay me, no matter what God does to me, I'm going to still trust him." Can we get to that place? That no matter what comes into my life, I can still hold on to my God, who's my God and who is my Father? Think about it. Yes, life is hard. Yes, we can weep. Yes, we can groan. But God loves us and cares for us. Just keep holding on. We're not through today. Psalms 119. Look down at verse 67. "Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now have I kept thy word." God sends afflictions to straighten us up sometime. We might have been drifting away, but a trouble will get us back in sync with the Lord. Look down then at verse 71. "It's good for me that I've been afflicted." Can you say that? Did you know your troubles or things that happened to you, God was correcting the way you were going because it was wrong? Think about that. We didn't like it. It hurt. Afflictions hurt. Don't you agree? He said, "It's good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statute." I tell you what, there's a lot of things this world has to offer, but there's nothing no more important than knowing about this book and the God of the book. You're the richest man in the world if you know the God of the book. Praise God. Praise God. That there is a God. And though my heart is breaking, your heart is breaking, and you're troubled, there's a God that cares and understands, and yet he's allowing it for our own good. And we don't see that many times. We don't see that. We don't want to accept that. Just like the little children back there, they were cutting up a while ago, and I said, "Lord, take care of the children. One's asleep. The other's pacified. There's a God, folks. There's a God. First Peter 4:1. You ought to go there for 1 Peter 4:1. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh. Get that? Christ suffered for us. Arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he has suffered in the flesh. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. 1 Peter 4:1. Listen. Suffering can cause us to get right with God. Are y'all listening to me? Suffering, troubles, afflictions, trials can cause us to take an inventory and see what needs to go to please God. I remember when I went through that process. When I was many years ago trying to really shape up, I remember saying, Lord, I'm not even going to throw a piece of trash out the car window anymore. A lot of people need to start there, don't they, brother? In other words, we need to shape up. What is it that doesn't please the Lord in my life? Get rid of it. What is it now I need to bring in? Bring it in. That's what troubles can and will do if we listen. And you know, some people just keep barreling along, don't pay no attention. First Peter 4:12-13. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as you're partakers of Christ's suffering. I want to nail that home in your hearts this morning. We all agree Christ suffered, amen? He was beat. He was spit on. He was humiliated. He was disgraced. He was beat nearly to death before being hung on a cross. He suffered, the Bible says. But then it says that we can also be partakers of his suffering. We can suffer too. That identifies us with the Lord. That identifies us with the Lord, our suffering. Did you get that? We're partakers of Christ's suffering. So he understands when you're hurting. He understands when you're afflicted. This is what's going to make heaven so sweet and so wonderful. Because the Bible says, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us, in Romans 8:18. All these heartaches we're having, loss of loved ones, loss of our possessions, loss of health, loss of friends, how we groan, which is scriptural. Paul said he groaned. I groan. But heaven's going to be so much sweeter because none of that's going to be there. Nothing like that's going to be there, folks. Nothing to hurt us or even discourage us. My, what a world that's going to be. And I see the faces of my mom, my dad. I hope my son. Uncles and aunts and grandpas and mas and all. Family, church, brothers and sisters. It's going to be something, folks. And it's never going to end. That's the good part of it. It's never going to end. Amen? Troubles come in. Troubles come to the just and the unjust in this life. This world is not a paradise, although there are some beautiful places in this old sin-sick world. But even the prettiest place is not eligible to be in heaven. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. In our afflictions, we can bear our afflictions knowing how our Lord and Savior suffered. Oh, think of the agonies of Jesus Christ. We are sharing in His suffering, and we as God's people will share in His glory. Thank God. There's coming a day when a change is coming, we're told in Revelation 21, verses 4 and 5. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are passed away. And He that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And He said to me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. Oh, there's coming a day when there will be no more groaning and crying and hurting and don't know what to do. There's coming a day that's abolished forever. For the people of God. Just for the people of God. The world we live in, folks, is a place of evil. Did you hear on the news the other day, this 18-year-old guy met the police with a butcher knife in one hand and his mother's head in the other hand? This world's an evil place. It's the devil's territory. It's the curse of sin is here. Sin has did all this. Sin is what makes the headlines so horrible. 1 Peter 5, verses 8 through 11. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, you Christians, the devil is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who has called us into His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To Him be glory, dominion forever and ever. Amen. Yeah, there's going to be an end to the afflictions and the troubles, the sorrows of this life. They're only temporary. Yeah, they're painful while they're here, though, aren't they, folks? They're very painful. One glad day we're going to escape this world and its sorrows and death. We're going to be taken out of it. We're living in a world of hate. And now, in the last several decades now, we're having the children taught to hate other people. The children are taught to hate those people over there. We're in a world of hate and evil. And godliness. I saw on TV yesterday, the police was after this guy, and he wouldn't stop. So the police come upside down to his left rear panel, and he just give him a little nudge, and he went into a spin, and the car went over there to the ditched. He jumps out. He's not ready to give up. There's about five or six police cars there. He goes running down the middle of the highway like an idiot, thinking he's going to get away from all those cops. And a helicopter even over, hovering over him. And he's running down the highway going to get away from all them people. And I seen Johnny just tackle him. And down he went. How deceived people are. As I've mentioned to y'all the other Sunday, good always wins. Evil's always put away, defeated. And this old book tells us about it. There's coming an end to evil and hate and bitterness and ungodliness. The good news is, as the children of God, we're never alone. The Lord is always with us and will make a way for us as it pleases Him. We need to trust the Lord with our lives. In Hebrews 4:15 and 16, I'm about closed. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. You know what's precious to me? This might sound odd to you, but if I was to see you going through a great loss or hurt, and I just see tears coming down your face, you know it would bless me. It would bless me to a certain degree. We're all common, aren't we? And we're mortals. We hurt. We need to have tender hearts. We need to have tender hearts. We have an high priest which cannot be touched, with the feelings of our infirm, but was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may attain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You know, I just badger God all the time. I say, Lord, you said it. You're merciful. You said you were rich in mercy. You're plenteous in mercy. You delight to show mercy, Lord. I can do that because He said it. And yet we keep waiting. We keep waiting. We keep trusting. Because He knows best. He knows best. In Revelation 20, we'll let you turn there right quick. I'll be done in 30 or 40 more minutes. Revelation chapter 20. Revelation 20, verse 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are. They've been there 1,000 years at this time. And shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and Him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. There was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. How have they lived in this world? What have they done? And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and the death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. That is, people have come out of the center of the earth where they're at in torment now. They're standing at the great white throne. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. Think about this. Death is going to be cast into the lake of fire. Death. And hell, that is torments, where the dead go now that's unsaved, will be cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. How horrible when it's needless, because there's a Savior. And people shouldn't be have to be cast into the lake of fire, but they will. Most people will be, I'm afraid. In Revelation 22, verse 12, my life scripture, I just can't get enough scripture for myself. Revelation 22, look at verse 12. Behold, I come quickly. That means, it doesn't mean that he might come in 5 minutes. That word quickly there means, when it's time for me to come, I'll be there. That's what that word means in the Greek. When it's time for me to come, I'll be there. Won't be no dragging around. And my reward is with me to give to every man according to his work, as his work shall be. You're a Christian, you'll get rewarded one day for how you serve the Lord since you got saved. That's what he's saying. Paul teaches that. John's teaching it here. Ever how you serve the Lord, you'll be rewarded. Today we're blessed, but that day we'll be rewarded if we've earned any rewards. I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs, sorcerers, whoremongers, murderers, idlers, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. They were all just cast into the lake of fire. Folks, I can't answer all your questions. I do have this information from the Lord himself. Trust God. Trust God. Will your troubles, your disappointments, your heartaches, your problems, you keep trusting God and living right. Yes, sir. And that'll take care of all our situations. Because God's in control. God won't do anything wrong. He does what's right. Let's love him. Let's serve him. Let's promote him. Let's praise him in Jesus' name. Father, thank you for this time, this opportunity you give us to try to encourage our people here, your people. Lord, some are struggling. Different problems, different situations. Challenge hearts to just put their full confidence and trust in thee and wait on you as they live for you. Yes, wait on you as they live for you. It's not contradictory. It's biblically true. Keep serving the Lord and waiting on the Lord, and we'll be blessed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.